began a series of lessons several weeks ago on these Beatitudes that many people are familiar with, the Beatitudes of Jesus that he gave pretty close to the beginning of his earthly. Oh, by the way, you know, in Matthew, this is in chapter 5, but in Matthew 3 and chapter 4, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus did the same thing in chapter 4, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Each of these Beatitudes has to do with the coming kingdom. The blessings that are found in Christ Jesus are blessings that will bring you to Christ Jesus. So many people think, oh, these are just good motto or a good slogan. But that's not the case. When number one, in being poor in spirit, you'll find comfort, meaning poor in spirit, you need to see your desperate situation, and the comfort is found in the amazing grace of God that he provided through Jesus. The second beatitude being, blessed are they that mourn, you mourn for your sins, and the comfort is, oh, there's amazing grace provided for you. That's the comfort, not just, there's no blessing in just crying. That's not the blessing. Oh, blessed are you when you cry. That has to do with the coming kingdom and the amazing grace that God provided through Jesus, his son. There's comfort. So now we have, blessed are the meek. For they shall inherit the earth. So in the introduction I gave you, in some sense, the world would look at this beatitude in disbelief. They'd say, oh no, the meek get run over. That's the world's point of view. You don't want to be meek. The world would say, blessed are the clever, for they shall be admired. The world would say, blessed are the warlike, for they'll have the power and the glory. The world would say, blessed are the aggressive, because those are the ones who will prosper. Challenging to the worldly thought and the way the world thinks. That's not the way to gain the world. Meekness? No. So the world view is kind of like the little boy whose mother called him her little lamb. He says, I don't want to be your little lamb. I want to be your little tiger. I don't want to be a little lamb or meek. So by definition, meekness is not, and I just put a series of things here, you know, it's not the mouse here being, you know, we had that expression, meek as a mouse. No, it's not. That's not the attitude of meekness. It's not Casper Milquetoast. That's an old comic strip character who was very timid, shrinking, apologetic. The phrase kind of like toast in milk, you know, soggy. limp, no strength, and so that. But that's not meek. Meek is not being spineless. It's not being afraid of your shadow. It's not being feeble, frail, fragile, shy, subservient to a fault. You don't surrender your right all the time. It's not just being easygoing or mild-mannered or nice. It doesn't mean that you're void of manly vigor or courage. The dictionary adds to the, I just put all these words together, I got my thesaurus and looked up all the synonyms for that they might use for meek. But that's not the meek in the definition that Jesus uses here. The dictionary adds, too submissive or overly submissive, easily imposed on, spiritless. So Jesus is not complimenting those definitions that I just gave you and read off for you. That's not the meekness of the text. So now come, what is it? What's meek? Greek dictionary, yeah, it's a mildness or softness, gentle spirit, but it's not easily provoked, not irritated. It's patient under injuries, not vain, haughty, or resentful. And then the Hebrew ancestry of the word, even before the Greeks in Jesus' day, it says, the one who in loving and obedient humility accepts the guidance and the providence of God. If you're meek, according to Hebrew ancestry, you don't grow resentful or bitter about the things that life brings to you in your meekness. It means that you believe that God will bring about eternal good. You're meek. Psalm 25, verse 9 says, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. In Psalm 37, verse 9, evildoers will be cut off. Oh, but those that wait on the Lord, the meek, shall inherit the earth. Interesting phrase. Also in Psalm 37:11, the meek shall inherit the earth, shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The meek just know how to live on earth. They know what their attitude should be about earthly existence, your meekness. Now there's four more times in Psalm 37 that it's stated the meek shall inherit the earth. Verses 18, 22. The Lord lifts up the meek, casts down the wicked to the ground. Psalm 149, verse 4. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. Oh, the meek. The Greek ancestry of the word has several definitions. One of them, and this is the one I use when I speak of meekness, that it's an animal that has been tamed. In other words, it's domesticated, subject to control. It's the idea that animal has the ability to be ferocious, but controls it. Almost like a tamed lion, if there is such a thing. Yeah, pretty kitty, and try to pet it. No, but that's the idea. You have the ability to be ferocious, but you keep it under control. A tamed animal. Aristotle described it as the mean between two extremes. I think I put that one in your notes. It's a happy medium between excessive anger and excessive non-anger. It's between stubborn anger and one who's incapable of anger. So there's a middle ground that the word meek describes. You're not milquetoast. No, you're not out of control. There's that middle ground for meekness. It's described by one writer as the virtue of one who acts with gentleness when he has the power to act with stern severity. Yeah. Tamed animal. It's tamed. You know, sometimes we have neighbors that walk their dogs and it's a pit bull or something, a boxer or something. And the kids will want to pet, and they'll say, oh yeah, he's gentle. And I say, girls, let's let him hold the dog. And then you walk up and beckon. That dog has the ability to be ferocious. But the owner says, oh no, he's tamed. It's under control. No. No, actually, Clarence knows. No, don't go pet the pretty dog. Kitty. Robert Browning had a phrase. Says it's the man who knows well that it's good to have a giant's strength, but it's tyrannous to use it like a giant. Yeah. So meekness? Yeah. Your ferociousness is under control. You have that ability. Here's some examples. Moses in the Old Testament, Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek. Really? Now you know the life of Moses. Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And so this very meek man goes before Pharaoh and says, you need to let my people go. This very meek Moses stands at the Red Sea and he says to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This very meek Moses, see what meekness is? He comes down from Mount Sinai, he sees the sins of the people, and he pleads to God on their behalf. In Exodus 32, verse 30, Moses said to the people, you've sinned a great sin. Well, easy, Moses, you remember, you're very meek. Oh, no, you've committed a great sin, people. I'll go to the Lord, and peradventure, I'll make an atonement for your sins. Wait a minute. Numbers 12, 3, Moses was very meek. Look at Jesus. Said of himself in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'm meek. I'm meek, Jesus said. Really? It's not milquetoast, is it? It's not weakness. It's not fragile. No. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Yeah, he said. He wasn't a 20-pound weakling. Jesus wasn't a pushover. He wasn't stepped on. Sometimes the world looks at meekness as in those kinds of terms. But Jesus, I'm meek and lowly in heart. So he heals a man's withered hand on the Sabbath day in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. And when he looked around about on them, meaning the Pharisees, it says he looked upon the Pharisees with anger. Wait a minute, Jesus, I thought you were meek and lowly in heart. Their hardness of hearts. In Mark 11, verse 15, Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables, the money changers, and the seats of those that sold doves. Wait a minute, Jesus, I thought you were meek and lowly in heart. And he is. In Matthew 23, verses 13 through 29, Jesus pronounces woes, seven woes on the Pharisees and their attitudes and their actions. Oh, easy, Jesus. Remember, you're meek and lowly in heart. Look what he does. So now about us. When we're meek, we'll follow these examples. We'll look up to God as the one, you know, for our trust and our obedience. Yeah. It means that we're going to have a Christian life that's God-centered. We're meek. You know, Saul said, before he came to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, verse 6, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's an attitude of meekness. Lord, what do you want of me? It's the attitude that we present ourselves before God and with the attitude that says, if you speak, I'll listen. If you send, I'll go. If you command, I'll obey. That's meekness. Meekness. God doesn't... does not do away with our energy, our ability to be ferocious. He redirects it, tames it. Meekness, self-control, fruit of the Spirit. We still have our temper, but we don't use it as a means of sin or injury. But we can still. You know, Ephesians 4, verse 26, be angry. Man, I thought we were supposed to be meek. Be angry, but don't sin. So the beatitude is saying meekness doesn't take away our anger. We can certainly be angry at the right time for the right reason. We get angry at the wrongdoing of others. It upsets us, but we don't allow it to cause us to sin or to develop hatred or to become a lawbreaker. So now we know what meekness is not. Not that milk toast. Now we know what it is. Moses, very meek. And look at him as a leader of God's people. Look at Jesus. I'm meek and lowly in heart. He drives out money changers in the temple. He pronounces woes on the Pharisees. Oh, Jesus, I thought you were meek and lowly in heart. So now with that attitude, the beatitude says that there's a blessing for those who are meek, who have this attitude and emotion and action to inherit the earth. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean first. The blessing is not a promise of land ownership. To inherit the earth, some people take that literally. Oh, we get to own property? Well, because I know there's a lot of people that are not meek and they own land. But if I inherited the earth, I'd put it up for sale. You know, it takes a lot of work to own property. I know, I have a lot, a corner lot there in Chula Vista. Keeps me busy every weekend, sometimes during the week. And you just look at the problems of ownership when city government, oh, that's city land. Well, really? They can't take care of it. Can't please everybody in land ownership. So in many ways, I don't want the earth. You know, just that, like I said, just that one plot I do have is troublesome. So what does it mean to inherit the earth? What's the blessing if you're meek? How can I live on this earth and be meek? What do I inherit? Here's the answer. It means we know how to enjoy our earthly portion here, whether it's great or small. I just know how to enjoy earthly living. It means that we recognize the purpose for our earthly existence. And so like the songs we sing, here we are, but straying pilgrims. I don't know how to live on this earth. I know that it's not heaven on earth. I have a hope for heaven. You know, and here we have troubles and trials and sorrows, disappointments. There's some joys too. But we sing, every day I'm camping toward Canaan's land. Oh, how do I inherit the earth? If the attitude of this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. I know what it's like to live on earth. I know what it's like to inherit this earthly existence. We sing, earth holds no treasure. It perishes with using. Yeah. We sing the song, heaven holds all to me. That's right. I know how to live on earth. In meekness. Keep my strength and ability to be ferocious under control. Jesus said the things that are on earth are subject to moth and rust and thievery. And add to that, but things on earth can be broken and just lost. I'm not sure what all I have in my garage. it's still subject to the moth and rust. Inherit the earth. What does that mean? It means we can enjoy God's beauty of the earth. It means that I can enjoy God's work. I can inherit this earth, not just that plot of land, the earth. It means that we know how to live peaceably in this land, all portions. It means that I have that hope of heaven. It means that I know how to live here. And I see that there's no special blessing in land ownership. But I'm going to enjoy the land. And I'm going to enjoy the people. The meek shall inherit the earth. This world is not my home. Meek. The last thing by way of invitation, I just put to be meek toward God and man and enjoy the land. James 1 verse 21, receive with meekness. In other words, God, I'm not going to rebel. I have the power to be ferocious against God. I have the power to speak out against God. But no, receive with meekness. I need you again today, God. Meekness. The ability to rebel. No. That middle ground. Meekness. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness. Yeah. So those attitudes, I want to be poor in spirit, I want to mourn for my sins, and I want to be meek, an attitude of meekness, so I can inherit the earth and know how to live and receive salvation that God offers. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Be subject to that invitation, whosoever will may come. It's the answer to the commission that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, good news to every creature, believe anybody out. He that believes, you're subject to it if that gospel, good news message already. So let's stand and we'll sing this. Just let it be known at the close of this song.